Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Dan and your team, for leading us into worship and into the presence of God. Father God, we appreciate you and we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your presence. Many other people have made other choices, go shopping, go somewhere. Lord, there are these ones that say no, and I want to be in the presence of God. Just like David said, I was glad when I heard that let's go into the house of God. Father, meet us at our point of need and heal, deliver, and bring that joy that we need from you, Lord. And I truly believe that by the time we leave, it will be blessed of you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back again this evening to share the word of God. It's good because his word is so wonderful and it's so powerful. But as we move on into this world, the desire of the word of God, you know, is deteriorating all the time. But days are coming. Somewhere in the book of Revelation says that the filthy will continue to be filthy, and those who are holy will continue to be holy. It's time to choose whether you'll be worshiping God, choose to listen to his word, or you do otherwise. But the pressure is on, and many pleasures that have been introduced in this world. And it's like the world will keep you busy, and after you're really tired, they offer you pleasure. So you don't want to come to church because after you're so tired, you want to go for the pleasures of the world. But I choose to be in the house of God whenever possible. And I choose to read the word of God and enjoy his presence whenever possible. Amen. In the shortest possible time, I want to share with you about the beauty of faith. The beauty of faith. We thank God for the word we heard this afternoon. Many people came to me and said, yeah, that was for me. And I said, oh, praise God. Because I was thinking, Lord, is this what you want me to speak about? It sounds like just a message of just encouragement. And he said, yeah, speak that. My people need to be encouraged. So I really thank God for that. But let us now talk about the beauty of faith. Now, this is a topic that can take a month, and you can't even finish it. Because it's one of our fundamental doctrines that we have in our faith. But how can you say about faith or talk about faith without going to Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11? So we'll go there now. Hebrews 11 and read a few things there. Like I said, I love preaching from familiar scriptures and familiar books. There are books that are familiar, unfamiliar, like Zephaniah, like Habakkuk probably. But Hebrews seems to be familiar to many people, especially this chapter. It says in verse 1, if you are there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are unseen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And down the verses, you can go back and read the rest of those verses. Such an interesting chapter. Amen. My Bible teacher tells me, always read longer, you know, and many, you know, verses so that, because people never read their Bibles when they go home. So when they come to church, make sure you read them enough to take them for a few days. So faith is a substance. This is the best definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the morning, or in the first service, I talked about things that Jesus said, or the Bible say, and they are difficult to understand. I'm going to mention a few scriptures. I don't think I should be able to read all of them, but I've mentioned them too, or reciting them. The Bible says that the just shall live how? By faith. And what is faith? Faith doesn't deal with things that we see at all. And therefore, what God is telling us to do is that you are going to live by the things you don't see. Another hyperbole. How can you live with things you cannot see? Are you a human? Do you really understand life? Can I live by the things that I cannot see? Do you mean you want me to sleep in a house I cannot see? Do you want me to you know, how can I live? You know, these things that really surprise me. It's like punishing you. When other people are living by the things they see and they're enjoying everything, God is telling you, if you are my righteous one, then you are going to live by the things you don't see. How can that be? That's why many people can't walk the Christian faith. But because they just don't understand, we just need to explain a little more about the fundamentals of our doctrine and our teachings and our faith so that we can walk a walk that will really please God. And he gave examples of several men and women in that chapter of Hebrews 11 that walked by faith. And he mentioned a few things, like, for instance, Abel. Abel just gave his sacrifice. And that was an act of faith. He didn't know, he probably had not seen the Lord, but he did it in faith. Which means also our giving can be an act of faith. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. And the way I envisioned that, it's like God visited, because he used to visit his people. So he visited Enoch. Enoch visited heaven, and God visited Enoch, and he also visited him in his home in heaven. And then one time, Enoch said, I'm not going back. And he said, okay, you can have a room there. You can stay. Up to now, Enoch is staying. He was no more. But he had a report that he pleased the Lord. Now, in verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Impossible. Without faith, you cannot please the Lord. Whoever comes to him must know that he is. But remember, you can't see him. But you must know that he is. You must believe that he is. And not only that, he wants you to know that he desires to reward you when you do that. He says, because he rewards those who seek him diligently. Now, we're seeking somebody we don't see. Now, for over 31 years, I have been in the church, and all the first years, I've served God. I've served him to the best of my knowledge, and I've won many people to him, but I've never seen him. I've never seen his face. The Bible says, nobody sees the Lord and lives. So I've not seen him, but I truly believe that he is. He is there. He's so evident. His presence is so evident. His works are so evident. So he says, without faith, you cannot please me. Why? Number one, because he's one of those things that we cannot see anyway. If faith deals with the things we cannot see, God is one of the things we don't see. Now, God is not things, but I'm just using human language to express who he is. But he's the one that we cannot see. So, therefore, without practicing, without mastering faith, without mastering the art of believing things that you don't see with your eyes, there is no way we are going to please the Lord. because he's one of those that are not seen. But you must know that he is. And because we practice that, he has also rewarded us. He's such a good God. He's such a good God. And therefore, we must work on our faith. Now, faith is fading out everywhere. Because we live in this world. There's a book I'm writing about the three resident enemies. When I say resident enemy, that means you have one in your house. Whether you like it or not. These enemies are easy to know. One of these enemies, the world. The Bible says, if you have the love of the world, the love of the Father cannot be in you. You cannot love God and the world. But how can that be? How can you live in the world and you don't love it? I mean, this is where we live. How many people are living in the clouds or somewhere? We are all living on earth. Where we have all these trials. Where we have all these beautiful things. Oh, when I come over here, I see beautiful things. Beautiful cars that I say, oh my God, am I going to drive one of those in my life? I'm going to look at these brand new cars. You know, I'm looking at places. I've been to Cape Town, and that's so beautiful places. Now, the Bible says, if you have the love of the world, you cannot have the love of the Father cannot be in you. So how are you going to have the love of the Father when you're living also in the world, which has a lot of things that we need on a daily basis? So I concluded that the world is one of those enemies, but they're resident because I'm staying in the world. I just have to be careful. How can I live in the world without loving it? How can I do like that? How can I live like that? Enemy number one. Enemy number two is your body. The Bible says the body and the spirit are against each other. The body will never appreciate coming. All the empty chairs you see there, the body says, oh, I'm so tired. We went to the restaurant today and we are delayed so much. And the body was saying, oh, no. But after the food came, I was asking the power of hunger. I said, where is the power of hunger? Just now gone. But everybody was saying, oh, everybody got disgusted. The body, somebody say the body. Everybody say their body. Now, how many people live outside their bodies? Oh, everybody's living. Now, how can you really please the Lord with this kind of body? Because according to the explanation of salvation, the body is not saved. It will be saved, or you'll be saved from it when you die. But as long as we live, whether you're a bishop, whether you're the province overseer, like I've been given this big title now, whether you're a new Christian, the body will always be body. It will ask you all things that are contrary to what God demands. So how are you going to live a life that pleases the Lord when you are living in this body? Second enemy. The Bible calls it the temple of God, yes, but you know what this temple desires. It desires different things. And who is the third enemy, resident enemy? Satan. I believe all of you have cast demons out of your lives and demonic influence out of your lives and all these things of the enemy. But they're always with us. For the 30 years I've been casting out demons, they're still around me. I come to church and I cast demons. Sometimes you preach the word and you do deliverance at the end. And the demons have been sitting. They leave after the service. They leave when everybody's leaving. Do you know what I mean? They are with us all the time. But how can we live in this world with all these temptations that come our way and please the Lord? How can we live like that? Now, faith is going to help you to overcome all these things. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith is about things that are not seen. It's not something easy. I'm preaching about something not easy, but you must understand the journey of Christianity and how we must walk in this world victoriously and how we must walk a life that pleases the Lord. And the Bible continues to say that we should not walk by our sight, but by our faith. How can you tell me to walk without seeing, without my sight? Now, these are statements that sound impossible, but they are possible. They have given a list of men and women that walked by faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. There are so many names that we can as well add yours. I've already added mine in my Bible. Amen. How can you walk by faith? How can you walk by faith? Because we should not walk by sight. Now let me explain to you how we must walk. We should not walk by sight, but by the sight of our faith. Did you catch that one? Maybe I'll explain a little bit. That's why the Bible says, open the eyes of my understanding. There are some other eyes you can use, and that will help you to walk a victorious life. We should not walk by sight, but by the sight of our faith, because faith can see things. Amen? That is very powerful. We need to understand that. There's a verse I want to give you, which is really precious. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4:18. This is how it says. Maybe I'll begin from verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but are the things which are not seen. Church must grow to come this level, that we should walk not by the things that we see, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things that we see, that we enjoy to see, that we desire to have, people have killed others to have these things. We see that every day. Probably don't see that here like we see it in Africa. We see these government officials, greedy, you know, leaders taking money, billions and billions, millions of dollars, all the aid given. Somebody takes it into his house. Now they don't no longer keep it in the bank because they can be tracked down. They take it in their homes. Because they have the gun, they keep it there. But any other aid that comes in, any other money that comes, they still want to grab more. Now, they are gathering money that they will never use in their entire lives and at the expense of poor people. Now, they drive all the bigger. You come to Ghana and see some of these big cars. Among us, these very old other cars. Their children, when you see them when their children are going to school, they go with escorting vehicles. And they are not. There's a lot of traffic in Kampala, but when their children are going to school, they'll be driving on the wrong side. Because they have all the power. Now, the Bible says that is temporary. All the things we see are temporary. The things that we see. For things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They are the tangible one. They are the real thing. When I move by faith and I begin to see the things that no other people can see, things of eternal life, then I'm holding on to things that are internal, then my life will also be internal. Then I have the what we call real joy. These things of the world, I'm not against that. You cannot give me a nice can and think I'm going to say, no, take it back. I'll take it. But the thing is, I'm not focusing on that. My true joy comes from the things that are not seen. My faith shows me those marvelous, wonderful things that are internal. And when I hold on to them, I'm holding on to the real joy, real, you know, happiness. It's the real stuff, the answering things. When I was in London this time I came, I stayed with my friends there. So they do some business. So they had a business meeting with their bosses. They said, now, you are free on Monday, let's go. And this man comes in a linen suit, you know, wonderful, wonderfully dressed and expensive, everything on him, gold and everything. And he has this car called Austin Martin. It's almost a £250,000. And he's there bragging. He's parked it outside. And we're looking and taking selfies with it. But this is what he said. I don't think I enjoy enough of my car. It is too expensive. I bought it too expensively. When I go home, I want to stay in it on hydro, like I leave the engine, you know, running just to spend more time in it. Because I don't have enough of it. I've spent too much money, but I can't live in it so much. I have little time in it. It's like he's not satisfied with such an expensive car. And he says, now the company, I've started already calling. We are now making the 2019 Austin Martin. So if you bring that one back, we'll give you the other. He's just waiting for the year. And then they give him the other one. And then he pays more money. But he says already he's not satisfied. This is a brand new car, 2018, but it's not happy. I think the happiness I have is far better than the one he has got. He's not satisfied with all such materialism or material things that he's got. I'm saying I'm not against these material things, but the point is we cannot have internal joy holding on to them. We can have internal joy for the unseen, because the things that we don't see are the real things. These are temporary. I don't. This pulpit here is temporary. It's this microphone, probably next year I come, it won't be working. It's working now. Tomorrow it won't be working. But my faith in God is working for me now. It worked for me tomorrow. It worked for my family. It will work for my children and my offsprings, generations to generations. The faith I've introduced to my family will make my family and children to come, my offspring to come, to go through this world successfully, because what I've got is internal. It's the real thing. And faith has helped many people. I am one of those. I am a product of faith. I grew up definitely in a poor family. Not many African people have come from rich families because of the kind of politics we have. You know that Africa's rich. It's only the bad politics. I grew up with my mom because my father died when I was 6 years. And my mom had given 11 children. He gave birth to 11 children, and I'm the 11th one. I thank God that she worked hard that I was able to come. 11 children. And by the time I knew that she was my mom, she was already old. So she couldn't do much for me like she did for, she couldn't work hard. And I was mama's boy. I was a little bit lazy. I couldn't help her in the garden. So she used to grow food and sell part of it to get my school fees. But she was such a woman. She was such a woman that really feared God. And she brought us, in the presence of God, with the word of God. And she used to tell us to pray. She used to tell us we are rich. And I'm looking at the richness she's talking about, and I don't understand. She taught me how to pray our Lord's Prayer. And in this Lord's Prayer, we prayed, and give us this day our daily bread. And there was nothing on the table. Even the table was not there. So I said, Mom, where is the bread we always pray for? She says, never mind. The bread is in the spirit. Oh, when you were a kid, you don't want to see things in the spirit. You don't want bread in the spirit. You want the real bread. So I was there. I was there thinking, my mom, yes, you see, when your mom is your mom, you know, you just believe them because they are your mom. But somewhere in the corner of your mind, it's like, Mom, I don't understand. But she taught us that kind of faith, to believe God, and said we are rich and God is looking after us. Your father's not here, but your father's in heaven. Read again this verse. Our Father, what in heaven? Yes, that's it. Your father now is in heaven. So believe that. He will give us food. He will give you the school fees that you need. And guess what? I managed to go through school. The way I did was, you know, but I managed. And he taught me how to pray. He taught me how to believe in God. He taught me. And then he said, look at the things you want. Faith in God will bring those things to you. Don't mind about these things. He taught me. She taught me how to live a Christian life. And I managed. Though it made me look like different at school, I did not behave like other kids were behaving because of this kind of limitation she put around me. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't indulge. Don't smoke. Don't. You know, she told me a lot of things, and I look so different. You see, when you're living in faith, when you're walking in faith, you look so different. You don't talk like other people. Your talk is different. Your expectations are different. The way you do things are different. It's different from how other people are doing, because everybody's doing according to how they see things. Now, you do things as they cannot see, because you are doing things according to faith. Your confessions are different. And one time I looked at a plane somewhere in the country where my home is, and I said, one day I first wondered. I wonder what is going on in that thing moving up in the air, and I don't know what they're doing there. I don't know what kind of food they're feeding from that plane. I don't know where they're going, where they're coming from. Oh God, I don't know. But as my mom said, if you really trust in God, one day you'll be one of those going up in the air. And tell you what, I didn't come here by bicycle, man. I didn't come by bicycle. I came by the plane. The things that I could only imagine that were so far from where we are, our family was so poor. There's no way, there's no way, there was no chance. But in God, there was bigger chance in me. In God. And God has blessed me. From where, if you look at where I come from and to where I am, faith in God has blessed my life. I'm one of the happiest men on this planet. And for the things that I don't have now, I'm not worried. Because I can see them in the spirit. For your faith will turn your hope into tangible experience if you don't lose heart. Continue believing in God for the things that you want. You don't have to go crazy about the things. Just trust in the Lord. And faith will hold those things for you in the spirit. And eventually, it will turn your hopes into tangible experience. And then you will see the things that you never expected to have in life. Faith has beautified my life. Faith has made this church move forward. I've been here for now, I think this is the 10th year. I've been coming here for a while. Maybe some of you before you came here, I visited this church. I've seen it changing. Now I see new chairs. I see new renovations. Faith has done the things. Faith has kept us going. Faith has beautified our lives. Faith has beautified our future, our hope, our families. Faith has changed everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, you need to understand and walk by faith. For the things that we see now are temporary. But the things that we don't see, but we can see by faith, are eternal. As I wind up this message, it's a big one. I said it, I can take a month preaching about this. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, I was reading through my Bible, looking at these people that exercised faith. And there was this man that came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, because he wanted to be healed, and said, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." But in the same verse, he said, "Oh, Lord, help me believe." He had just believed, but immediately he lost faith. He said, "Oh, Lord, I need help. I need to believe." Now, what is faith there for? One of the things I've discovered about faith, let me give you an explanation, my own explanation. Now, the Bible has given its own explanation, which is brilliant. I will tell you the way I also understand faith. What is faith? Faith is belief plus unbelief. Have you ever believed God for anything? And then after believing God for something, then you sit back and say, "You are silly. You think God can do that for you? You think you have enough faith to move that? You think God is going to give it to you? Impossible." Then you believe God for something, but the next thing that's going to strike you is unbelief. I've experienced, am I talking to Christians? You believe God for something really great. Yes, I'm going to buy a new house. Then you look at a job and you look about your failures and the money you have in the bank and all the friends you have, they are all kind of failures. And you say, "You are going to buy this kind of house?" You're foolish. You can never buy it. You've just believed God for a new house, but then unbelief hits you. And you say, "You are not going to make it." So what is faith? Faith is believing plus unbelief, because unbelief will always come, whether you like it or not. But always act on the faith you had in the beginning. What does that mean? This is what it means. The enemy is going to whisper to you after trusting God for something. The enemy is going to whisper to you. He's not going to do it. You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough funds. You don't have enough friends to support you. You don't have enough reputation. How are you going to do that? You don't have enough anointing to pray for the sick. There's no way you're going to do it. Now, faith, I want to teach you two things so that you understand what I mean. One time, Jesus was walking on the sea, and there are waves that came and hit the boat. He was crossing on the other side of the sea when he was going to Gadarene, you know, to heal that man that had demons. And when he woke up, when he was woken up, he said to his disciples, "Ye of little faith, why didn't you calm this storm? Ye of little faith?" Oh, yes, he said. But then in Luke, he comes again. He passes by a tree and he curses it because he didn't pick any fruit from it. There was no fruit on it. And now, after 2 days, they were walking and passing by this tree with his disciples. And they looked at the tree and they say, "Oh, the tree is withering, it's drying up." And Jesus said, "If ye had little faith, like a mustard seed, you would tell this mountain to move from here and be thrown in the sea and shall be." Now, these are two seemingly contradicting statements. Jesus said, "Ye of little faith, you would have done that. You have little faith. You should have calmed this storm down." And now he's saying, "If you had little faith." So what does he mean? There's a secret here. In this statement, where he says, "If you had little faith like mustard seed," now you need to understand the word seed. What does the word seed mean? What do we do with seeds anyway? What do we do with seeds? What are seeds for? Planting. And when we plant them, what happens? They grow. Woo, I like the word grow. So they grow. Now, what Jesus is saying, his disciples were walking with him. They believed he was the Son of God. He was sent to save the world, but they never moved from that stage, from that level. Therefore, they could not do anything. Their faith was not growing. But in this other statement, it says, "If you had faith like seed, which has the potential to grow, build it now and again, plant it into your life. Let it grow." Because a seed has the potential. If you look at the seed, actually what we call vision. Vision is the ability to see a tree in a seed. Because in a seed, there is a tree. Actually, there is a forest in a seed. So Jesus is saying, if your faith is living faith, if you really plant it into your life, it has the capacity to grow. It will grow one day that you will be able to tell things to move, and they will move. So I wonder whether the faith you have is the seed faith or the faith, this ordinary faith, believing in Christ, yes, he's the Son of God, he saved me, and that's it. People who have faith like seed that nurture their faith to grow, you will come to that point and you will tell things and things will obey. Somebody say amen. Amen. So if you have faith like seed that grows in us, feed it every day. Read the word of God, because you know it comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible says the entrance of your word, Psalms 119, I think verses 130, it says, the entrance of your word brings understanding to the simple. Now, the word simple means somebody who lacks understanding. You know, it's just a polite word for people who lack understanding. They are not very wise people. But by the entrance of God's word, they get understanding. What does that mean? When we nurture ourselves with the word of God and it comes into our lives, we shall reach a point that we have understanding of things. You look at things and you have understanding of them. Then you begin to speak and things will begin to move. Then the power of God will be in you. And then things will begin to change. Let your seed of faith grow in you. Let faith grow in you. Let your faith be the seed-like faith. Let it be the seed-like faith in you that grows. Not the faith that is always constant. Let it grow. Let it have the potential to grow, because it has the potential to grow anyway. Amen? You must believe. Jesus said, have faith in God. There's a man called Galileo. He lived in the 16th century, and he developed the law of the law of pendulum. Is that the way we pronounce it? The law of pendulum? Is anybody did physics? Okay, I'm the one who did physics. Okay. So better believe me. So the law of pendulum. Now, the law of pendulum states that when you swing an object, a metal, for instance. Pendulum. Yeah, I told you, this is the way to pronounce it. I didn't help me. So you took my pronunciation. Okay, you know what I mean? How is it pronounced?
Pendulum.
Am I speaking now correctly? Pendulum. It says, when you swing this object, because of the power of gravity, it never comes to the point where it started because it has lost momentum by the time it comes back. So years later, a professor is teaching in the university about this law, and one of these stubborn students said, okay, professor, I want you to prove that to me. We are going to swing this metal, and I want you to put your nose here because you say it won't come back on the same point. I want you to put your nose there. And the professor was a little hesitant. He said, but he knew the law was correct. So they swung the metal. And when the metal was coming back, the professor ran away as quickly as he could. He wasn't very sure. Because if the law was wrong, his head would be smashed. Now, what does that represent in this sermon? These are people that always confess faith, but they won't try it. They won't dare because faith is daring. Amen? You must believe, you must trust and believe in God that the metal will not hit you. If you believe God for anything, believe with all your heart, and God will perform it for you. I'll give one example. One example. In Luke. Quickly, very quickly. If one of those scriptures, if you're writing, is anybody writing? If you're writing, please write 2 Corinthians 5, 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if you're writing. Write Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then about the mustard seed, it's Matthew 17, 20. Write those verses quick because they will help you. They will help you really. Thank you, Lord. In Luke 5:17 is the last one, really. Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Listen to that simple scripture that nobody has seen. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. When they sought to bring in and lay before him, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, which means faith can be seen, God sees your faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And then the man was healed. When you read down verses. Now, faith, I said, faith can beautify your life. This man was paralyzed. I wonder how many sicknesses we are suffering in our lives when we have faith. So this man was brought into Jesus. Their faith, the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of God to heal us is always present. Say amen. Amen. It is waiting on your faith to grab it wherever it is to heal you. It is always there. So all other people were debating, asking Jesus questions, but the power of God was there to heal, and nobody saw it. These four men saw the power of Jesus to heal, and they tried all means. You see, when you are desperate for something, you will do whatever it takes to get it, and faith will help you. If you really know it, that God can help you, do whatever it takes. Don't sit back and do nothing. So they removed the roof. They risked their lives, and they removed, this was a rich man's, you know, house. You cannot just remove my roof just like that. But faith, they could not help. That's the only way they could get to Jesus. While the people were crowding about Jesus and they're doing nothing about that, they saw the power to heal. And they lowered down their friend. Which means we can join our faith together. If there's something that has failed to move, I can join with Ian and Jane, and we can pray together. We can join our, if your faith is not enough, you can join with your brothers, with your brothers, with your sisters. Come and ask the pastor to pray for you. Come and tell Phil, Philip, can you help me? There's something I'm really trusting God for, but I feel like my faith is not enough. Join your faith together. When Jesus saw their faith, now the four men were not sick. They were okay, but they trusted God for their friend to heal him. And Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith, which means Jesus can see our faith, you know, combined together with our friends. That's why it's always good to come. There's what we call corporate faith, corporate anointing. When we come together as a church and we pray for one another, Jesus, our faith can become really solid to touching the Lord to heal us as well. Amen? That is when he saw their faith. He said, your sins are forgiven of you. First of all, he took away the sin that was causing the paralysis. And then after that, the man was healed. And tonight, and he had, of course, he had that return journey. I was saying that to the men yesterday, that you have that return journey. When you come to God with faith, with all the sicknesses and the troubles, he will heal you. And when you go back, your journey will be different. You'll be a healed man, a healed woman, and you'll be a different one. And faith would have beautified you before the Lord. Because faith beautifies. Mandela, Nelson Mandela in South Africa, you know, he was in prison for something he believed that could change. 27 years, he came out. Out of that faith, the apartheid was ended. And South Africa was beautified. The faith he had in God, in what he was dying for, changed everything. Martin Luther King was a pastor, though they called him human activist, but was a true pastor, was a real pastor. But the journalists, of course, the media is changing it to calling him a human activist. But he was a pastor trusting God that one day this bill, this racism will end in America. And he died for that. He had faith. He said, I've seen the mountain. I have been there. The Lord has showed me this. Nobody could see what he was seeing. And was shot, of course, the next day. And the next day, the bill was signed. Those are acts of faith. The Bible says that the world was framed by faith. Even God himself is using faith. He's calling things into existence. Let there be sun. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. And the world was beautified by the words of faith. What you read in Hebrews says, by faith, all the worlds were framed. The firmament, the galaxies. I wonder what you want in your what you want to see in your house, in your family, that is not created because you're not saying anything out of faith. Why don't you create things in your family? Speak over your children. Speak over your wife. Speak over your husband. You know, I like starting with my family. I want my family to be beautified. I know we are not there yet, but I always speak words of faith. You are going. If I ask them, what are you going to be? I want to be a doctor. I want to be this. Then I'll say, Lord, I'm praying that she really becomes a doctor, that he becomes an engineer. Whatever they want, I pray for that in faith. Those things will come to pass. Faith can beautify your family. Faith can beautify your life, your body, everything. Faith can beautify. The worlds and cities were subdued. Cities and nations were subdued because of faith. I wonder what you are failing to subdue because you have no faith in you. Like Jesus said, have faith in God. And when you practice your faith, faith is action. Faith is action. If you are believing God for something, if you are believing for a wedding, begin to do things. Prepare, go and ask the gowns, how much are these gowns? If you are believing for a baby boy, my wife believed for another baby boy, and this is how she acted. We call them the corresponding actions. She went and bought clothes for the baby boy. And guess what we got? Not a girl, but a boy. You have to do corresponding actions. Faith, if you want faith to beautify your life, do the corresponding actions. You cannot say, I'm going to play football, and then you take a chair in the field. Because chair is not the football you're going to kick. Do the corresponding action. You want to play football? Take the ball with you. Praise the Lord. And faith will beautify your life. I don't know what you're believing God for, But I want to assure you today that faith can beautify your life. It beautified the lives, many lives in the Bible. Abraham was beautified. David was beautified by faith that he had in God. Bartimaeus, a blind man, because he had faith in God, his life was beautified and saw his sight. He had his sight. And many other people, women and men, that trust in Jesus, their lives never remain the same. I am one of the examples. I was never expected to be like what I am today, to be a leader. Who am I to lead that province? All the bishops below me are older than me. How can that be? But because I had faith in God, God is entrusting me with a lot of things. And so you are. Let your faith be like that seed, the mustard seed. Don't be with faith that doesn't grow, because that doesn't change anything. That doesn't beautify things. But if you have faith like mustard seed, which means it has the potential to grow, you'll be able to tell the mountains in your family, in your lives, to move, and they will move. Eyes closed. Father God, we are here trusting you, Lord. We are living in this world, the tangible world. But you said we are not of this world. Yes, we are living in it, but you said we are not of this world. We must learn to live like we are not in this world, and learn to live by faith, and to walk by faith, not by sight, but by the sight of our faith. It is not easy to many Christians, but like that seed that has the ability to grow, Father, I pray that each one of our faith will begin to grow now. If anybody here had stagnant faith, that was not doing anything, that wasn't able to move any mountain, Father God, now I pray that you plant that seed of faith in each one of us here so that our faith begins to grow. There are ministers here that are supposed to go to places, pray for the sick, raise the dead, and do all sorts of things that you promised. But our faith is so low that cannot do anything. It's not growing at all. Father, pray for that seed kind of faith to be planted in each one of us here, that it may grow to the level of moving things that are immovable. And let faith beautify people here. If there is anybody here that is sick, Father, we're joining our faith together and we're trusting for healing. Those who are sick in the stomach, those who are healing, those who are sick of cancer, arthritis, aching in the back or somewhere in their bodies, oh Lord. See our faith this evening, Lord, and heal those people. Now, if there's anything that you're suffering from, any part where you're hurting, just touch there. We just want to believe God. I just want to trust you. If there's anywhere that you're hurting, maybe your heart, some here is hypertensive, just touch your heart. If you have your back is aching, faith can beautify your back today. If you have cancer, you have anything, I don't know what you're suffering from. If it is family, just remember those names. And faith will beautify you, because I know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus, and I'm talking about faith in God. And I'm talking about faith that moves mountains. I've seen this working. Father God, I pray for those who are hurting now, those who are in pain. Father, you're joining our faith this evening, like those four men whom you saw their faith. And I'm praying that sickness should go right away in the name of Jesus. I pray that people will be healed this evening in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the demonic oppressions, and any sickness of any kind in the name of Jesus and in faith in God, I command that sickness to leave now. And I pray for those families, oh Lord, that are hurting. People that don't know what to do. People who are looking for jobs. Father, I pray that faith will get hold of the jobs. Then the faith they have in God will be turned into tangible experience, and they will go and do those jobs in the shortest possible time. Father God, thank you for the new jobs. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children and our grandchildren. We have faith that our children don't perish. Our children, we worship you. We have faith that they will not go astray from you. They will serve you and desire to do righteous things. Thank you, Jesus. And as we leave, let your peace rest upon us. Let that power of faith rest upon us. Shine your face upon us, O Lord, and beautify our lives, Lord. Because we have seen how many people that faith beautified. When they had faith in you, their lives are beautified. And we are no different, Lord. We're looking unto you, and we believe in you, that you are existing for us. Beautify our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.